Thank you, Larry. Amen. God is having a good time today. Amen. And so, therefore, He's in me and I'm in Him and I'm having a good time today. I don't check with flesh. Do you? Huh? Don't check with flesh. I'm telling you, flesh will mess you up. You live in this world. How many of you live in this world? I'm looking at Sadie. She's not moving. But she does live in this world. And she's got a dad who lives in this world. But they're not of this world. Amen? Isn't that powerful? Hallelujah. I just want to make a comment, mention again about the worship conferences that are coming up over in our friends Bunny and Tim Pounds are putting on over in Garland. And on the 7th, Matt Gelman at the going to be at the Plaza Theater. And the tickets for that, they've got to pay for the venue, pay for the place. They're $12 individually and $10 for a group of 10. And you can check with me later and we can get that to you if you would like to attend. That's Thursday, August the 7th. And a follow-up conference, Set a Fire conference on October 3rd and 4th. They're sharing with us. And that's also going to be over in Garland that Friday and Saturday, and both nights for $15 ahead of time if with a group of 10 or $20 individually. So if you'd like to do those things, those are great. I'm going to be over there for both of those. So encourage you to come and be a part of that. That's just an encouragement for that ministry as well. But these are not just sing-alongs. These are times to come together with the body of Christ and just encourage one another in knowing the Lord individually, personally. It's not like just to come on by and let's have a shouting match, but it's time to worship the Lord together, and it's a call to worship for the Lord. All right, so that's those two things. So if you'd like to be get involved in those, just let me know. Again, August 7th, it's less than 2 weeks. And then October 3rd and 4th. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord God. We worship you. Father, I love you with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul, all of my strength. I thank you that the living God indwells me by His Holy Spirit. And there's none worthy of praise beside you, Father. I thank you that when you come and live on the inside of me, I'm transformed and changed. Every day I'm being transformed and changed. Father, I thank you that I'm living after heaven and not living after earth. I thank you that those things which are attempted to get my attention on the earth, they can't do it. Because you indwell me and you have all my attention. You have given me great hope where I had none before. So, Father, we worship you and thank you for it. We give you praise. Glory to the name of Jesus. Glory to the name of Jesus. Glory to the name of Jesus. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. We bow down before you, love and adore you. Your name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. Your name is wonderful. Thank you that we gather together to worship, to be one body together. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's turn over to Psalm chapter 56. Psalm chapter 56. Oh, God's doing good things. Amen. He's changed me. I'm no longer the same. Hallelujah. I'm no longer the same. Can you say that? I'm no longer the same. Living in this world, there's an opportunity to decide that this world is going to rule your daily life. Amen? There's an opportunity to decide that this world is what's real and heaven is just off there somewhere in the Bible. But to know that heaven is alive in me now, that's a promise that comes straight out of the Word of God. And that's a promise that I can only know because of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. You can read this and read this and read this, but the Holy Spirit gives it to you as a gift. The Holy Spirit gives it to you as a gift when you are born again, born from above. Not baptized in the Holy Spirit, but born from above. That hope is given to you as a gift. And I'll encourage you today to cultivate that gift. The Bible calls salvation a well of water. There's two different definitions really in the Scripture that define us as far as the Holy Spirit's work in us. One is a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And sometimes, if we're Holy Ghost folks, we go straight to the river of living water. Well, the power. The river of living water flowing out of all the innermost parts of the belly. We like the power, right? I mean, so many times we go for that. Because we see that that's been lacking. We see that the power of God in the New Testament church seems to have been lacking in the local church now. But there is still the well of water springing up into what? Everlasting life. And that well of water springing up into everlasting life is constantly flowing in me. It's constantly flowing in you. Has anybody been born again? Anybody who's not, we can get that started for you right now. We can actually, pray and you can pray and thank God that Jesus forgave all of your sins. Some people may not be. You may be part of the furniture around here and been here for 30 years. And did not know that Jesus has forgiven all your sins. Isn't that amazing? He's actually forgiven all your sins. From the foundation of the world. From the very first one, Debbie. From the very first one. And you didn't have to worry about it again. You don't have to worry about it again. You don't think about it again. Because Jesus, everything He says is to a person who's been forgiven. Amen? I'm forgiven. I want you to be encouraged today because you're forgiven and God loves you and you're having a great time. You're having a great time. Is there trouble? Absolutely. Lots of it. Plenty of it. Is this world our home? No. Not anymore. Not anymore. This world is not our home. Let's look at Psalm 56. The reason I'm talking about that is, when trouble comes, when things come, and David's a great example of that. King David's a great example of that. I mean, you remember his family? I mean, David's running from cave to cave from his son. Not just from Saul, but he's running from his son, Absalom. I mean, yeah, we like to think of David because God says he's a man after God's own heart. But, I mean, his kids were a mess. Huh? Not only, and just a few other things that kind of, he made some errors in judgment. Amen? He's just like me, though. And he's just like you. Has anybody ever made a mistake? Thank you, David. Praise the Lord. All right. Praise the Lord. Has anybody ever made a mistake of any kind? Not one. And just one. Did you raise your hand? Oh, you were messing with you thought you made a mistake, but you were wrong. Okay, good. You've had too many opportunities to preach, I can tell. Amen. You can get around most anything preaching, can't you? Yeah, I see that. Yes. Psalm 56, again, is written by David. And Psalm 56, Psalm 57. And I want to look at these things because I want to let you know that just because you live in this world, you have issues and problems that come up that you deal with, first of all, in your thought life. The first thought that comes to you is how to deal with it in the flesh. And, you know, maybe that's just me, but I think most of you are probably just like me. Is the first thing you think of, it's just like, something happened, you're just ready to kind of deal with it in the flesh. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the Holy Spirit makes you crazy because He begins to speak to you. And you begin to talk like a crazy person because you begin to talk like one minute everything's going wrong and the next minute you begin to talk like everything's going right. Because the Holy Spirit is informing your mind. Because your mind is messed up. You ever figured that out? Your mind will think about things and be terrified of things, but the Holy Spirit will come and talk to you. I'm going to practice this. I'm going to practice preaching from here. Y'all tell Pastor Jim so that when I'm on the front row, all of those things that are taking place, your mind begins to think about one thing, but then the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you. He begins to talk to you. And you begin to talk back. And you begin to talk like He talks. And the Psalms are a wonderful example of how crazy we get, how double-minded we get because the Holy Spirit is talking to us. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is talking to you. And that river of, that well of water springing up into everlasting life isn't just, hey, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. But what that's doing is changing everything on the inside of you. It's changing everything on the inside of you. These Psalms become you. Not only, see, you used to think you would just complain all the time. And you would just go crazy complaining and being upset all the time. But then you got born again, and then you began reading the Word, and the Word began to change your thinking. And it began to change how you began to talk up to your problem and about your problem. Let's look at it. Kind of like you're going back and forth. Be merciful to me, O God. This is Psalm 56, verse 1. For man would swallow me up. He, fighting, daily oppresses me. Well, that's a good way to start your prayer morning. Amen. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they would be many that fight against me, O Most High. But, verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in God. I will trust in you. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. Now, I don't want to make that a clear point. I messed it up. I said, I will trust in God. So it's like you're talking to y'all. But no, he says, what time, in the time that I'm afraid, I will trust in you. So I'm talking to him. I'm talking to him. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. Now, there's two parts of you evident here. Now, there's one part that's afraid. Is that your spirit? Is that your born-again living spirit? What time I'm afraid? No. That's your flesh. That's the part of you that depends on you to make things happen, to figure out how to fix this problem. Or which way am I going to run? What time I am afraid? Anybody felt like he had to run? You know, I know a guy, he feels like all the time he's having to run. He's just running because he's afraid. Because there is no foundation. But the foundation here is from your spirit. From your spirit, from your the heart that's been changed, transformed, is living in Christ Jesus. That's your spirit. Your spirit has been indwelt by the living God, by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto you. That Holy Spirit, given by God to you, is making a distinction. You look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, as we've studied before. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it said, the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit. Dividing asunder between soul and spirit. There's two parts of you that exist. The Bible talks about these in various places, especially in the New Testament, is discussing how you are transformed by renewing your mind. The Word of God renews your mind. That you meditate upon the promise and the Word of God, and you begin to look like the promise of God. You begin to look like what God created from the heart. God changed you. And David's seeing that. He was seeing that from the day he was killing bears and lions out on the plain taking care of sheep. I mean, I'd be scared of a wolf. How about you? But he had more than just a wolf to deal with. He had bears and lions. How many shepherds have to deal with a bear and a lion? But he's out there and he's trusting God, because he was taught by his dad, trust God. And then he puts you out in the middle of the sheepfold with all these sheep out in the middle of the, you know, in the pasture with all the sheep, with all the critters and all the dangerous animals. God, he's trusting God with his son. Jesse's trusting God with his son. And David is trusting God with his sheep. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. So you have that distinction, and you need to remember how to tell yourself that. Amen? Because otherwise you'll just go off on feeling sorry for yourself. Go off on feeling that because this is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to get you busy. Doesn't it? The enemy wants to get you busy just kind of looking at your deal. He wants to get you busy looking at your own circumstance, your own problem, your own trouble. That's what he wants to do. He wants to steal you from the kingdom of heaven. You are effectual because you are filled with God's Spirit. You're born from above. Amen. You are effectual. The Spirit of God isn't without strength just because he lives in you. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit, got the same power, the same glory, just especially because he lives on the inside of you. So as his word, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not meagerly, but let the word of God dwell in you richly. The power of God, the love of God, the peace of God. There are times, we've been through some, for long periods of time, that there are things that we don't, in the flesh, enjoy. Yet, the love of God overtakes and overwhelms those times. Because he is beyond time. He is beyond my life. He is beyond this world. He is in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. So the living God, see, separating between soul and spirit is separating between heaven and this world. Is separating between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. And God came, Jesus came to make that distinction. He came to make that transformation. And so when we live the rest of our life in this world, we're living in and through him. Let's look over at 2 Corinthians chapter. Keep your finger in that other one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So David had all kinds of trouble, all kinds of problems. And you see them in the Psalms. If you read the Psalms, you see David's ups and downs. And they're very similar to yours. Amen? They're very similar to yours. Jesus knows this. Said he was tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin. In every way. Well, I didn't see it recorded there. I don't know if you saw everything recorded. If all the things Jesus did were to be written, the book, the world itself could not contain the books. Anybody remember that scripture out of John? So some of the temptations that Jesus experienced, you may not have seen recorded, but the Bible clearly says that he was tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin. Yet without sin. Yet without sin, not only without sin failing and missing the mark, but without sin, without turning from the promise that God had already made to him. That God is with me, for me, and working in me and through me. And there is no, and I, even though, you know, he even was brought to that edge in the garden, saying, Father, if there's any way that we can do this another way. Nevertheless, thy will be done. So what he's wanting to do now in you is you make that statement. Because here's the thing. God's law, God's love, we're all about, not about him being pleased by you, but about you being blessed and that the kingdom of God be propagated. Amen? God doesn't need you to keep laws. You know, the only reason we give laws to our kids is why? You know, don't cross the street, or you know, you're jaywalking, you know, what happens? Bam. You know, you give a law to protect somebody you love. Amen? So that's the law. The law of God is His love, isn't it? The law of God is His love. But we couldn't pull it off. So what He's done is come and moved on the inside of us. And even at that, now He's moved on the inside of us by the Holy Spirit. He's living in us. And He is transforming us and He's changing us. And I'm being changed every day. Say it, I'm being changed every day. Say that. I'm being changed every day. Now, I don't care if you felt like saying it or not. It really doesn't matter to me. You know. What I'm saying is I'm trying to build you up, strengthen you, put on the inside of you the power of God and the love of God. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 15, talking about Jesus, and that he died for all, that they which live should not hereafter live to themselves, but to him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, hereafter, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now hereafter know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, look here. Verse 16. Wherefore, from now on, hereafter, know we no man after the flesh. Or that word to know in that context is to consider no man after the flesh. Sinner, saint, neither one. You do not consider someone after the flesh any longer from the point at which Jesus provided salvation through faith in His name for every individual person on the planet. No longer do you look at somebody and say, well, that's a wicked sinner. No longer do you look at yourself and say, well, that's a wicked sinner. You wake up in the morning, you know, and you see that face in the mirror, and you can put a little sign on the mirror. You say, saint, Jesus loves. So when you show up in front of the mirror, you find out that Jesus loves you. That he is not condemning you. Amen? I mean, we've had so much religion that just condemns and condemns and condemns and condemns. Jesus right here set me free. He kept the law. He cut the curtain in half. Amen. From the top to the bottom, He cut the curtain in half. They got in there real quick and sewed it back up. Got a scaffold. It was dangerous work putting the religion back. God destroyed it. He created it, and then once it was done with, once the scaffolding is done away with, what do? Get rid of it. The scaffolding is not the church. Jesus is the church. The church is not the supports that people put up and that God put up to build the church. It's now standing on its own foundation, which is Jesus. So your sins are totally forgiven. You know that, right? Are you happy with that? Well, no. I feel like I need to... That's the only way I get to God is through sinning. Amen. You know that? So many people, that's the only way they end up showing up to God is because they did something bad. Did something wrong. Well, you do all the time. You do wicked. You do bad. All the time you mess up. But the fact is what God's desire is to do is to come on the inside of you. Have a daily fellowship with you personally and privately because He loves you. And then in doing that same thing, He causes joy to rise up on the inside of you. So from now on, I don't look at myself after the flesh anymore. Amen. I don't check my... Let's see, how do I look? You know, make sure I don't look at myself after the flesh. Neither do I look at other people after the flesh. Now, I mess up on that from time to time. I mean, you know, Leah sometimes will do something and, you know, I'll talk to Danny about it. No, I'm not going to look at anybody after the flesh. Lord, keep me from looking at people after the flesh. Keep me from looking at me after the flesh. Amen? Come on. I hope you're with me. I mean, I hope you didn't get left behind back on the bus stop. You know? You are of God, I think. And did we ask if anybody's been born again here? Born from above. And believe you me, I know y'all have had some things, I've had some things that want to continue to keep a hold of me. There are things that happen in this world that want to keep a hold of you. The enemy wants it to keep a hold of you so that he will defeat the gospel. Anybody know that? He's wanting to destroy, just like he wants to destroy all the babies in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem, just like he wants to destroy all the babies in Egypt, out of the promise. He wants to destroy the babies that are coming forth from you. Amen? He wants to destroy the babies that are coming forth from you. Those who are coming to know the Lord Jesus and the love of God, because He's got me wrapped up in trouble. He's got me wrapped up in... And these are legitimate in this world. There are legitimate... If you're living in this world, looking at it from this... There are legitimate big, hairy troubles. Kids that mess up. People that leave. People that die. And though we love them, and have cared about them, the enemy is right there to use that to destroy me. He's there to destroy me because he hates me and he wants to destroy the work of God. He wanted to destroy the work of God in David. And he had a whole lot of opportunities to do it. Amen? Not only kids, marriages, non-marriages, just getting your enemies out of the way. I mean, my goodness, how could that be a guy after God's own heart? The guy is just crazy, messes up everywhere. But he had hope in God. That's his only That's his only salvation, is he had hope in God. You know that's yours? I hope you know you've sinned, even though you're a really good person. I hope you know you've sinned, and every day that God loves you all the more. He wants to grab you, hug you, and take you on a walk. Amen? He wants to take you and bring you into his kingdom in fullness. That's what he wants to do. He wants to teach you every day. He wants to create for you because you have a foundation. You're built upon a rock, right? You're built upon a rock, and there's a foundation beneath which you cannot fall. I don't know if you can say that, but just hear it. There's a foundation beneath which you cannot fall. Amen? You are solid. Your hope is fixed. We look at another one that says, my heart is fixed. It's fixed. You can't move it. So here, he says, wherefore here we after we know no man after the flesh, and though we've known Christ after the flesh, now know we him hereafter no more. Jesus left on purpose. He spent 5 chapters in John talking about how he was going to send this Holy Spirit guy. And they were happy with Jesus, right? They were happy with Jesus. They just have Jesus. We'll just keep Jesus. But Jesus had a different plan. Jesus wanted to redeem the world, and he knew he couldn't do it as a superstar. Amen? Well, Jesus is coming to town this week. He's lived for 2,000 years, and he just keeps living, and he's coming into the Verizon Theater, and he'll be holding salvation services, and everybody won't get to see him or hug him or shake his hand, but Jesus will be here. He wasn't interested in that. How many of Jesus was not interested in that? What he was interested in is having a personal relationship with Greg. That's it. He just wants to be alone with Greg, get rid of everybody, get rid of Parthenia. I just want to be with Greg. Because at the same time, I'm going to be with Parthenia. And at the same time, I'm going to be with Rebecca. At the same time, I'm going to be with Debbie. At the very same time. And I'm going to be with McCray, too. And there's another one coming, isn't there? Not yours. Yeah, the other sister. Praise the Lord. We're growing by addition. Amen. One at a time. God's doing so many great and mighty things. He wants to be with you. He wants to live with you. All right? So no longer do you look at Jesus after the flesh anymore. You look at him because he has provided for me and lives in me by the Holy Spirit. He lives in me by the Holy Spirit. He's walking with me. And now everybody, every believer, has the opportunity to minister to somebody else. Just by power, by the power of the living God. Wherefore, hereafter know we no man after the flesh, not even myself, not even my neighbors. Yea, though we know Christ after the flesh, we don't know him that way anymore. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. Back over to Psalm chapter 56. Still got that one? So verse 4. In God will I praise His Word. Remember what time I'm afraid? That was your soul. I will trust in you. That's the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit that we just talked about living on the inside of you. Okay? In verse 4, in God will I praise His Word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. There's the power of God. There's the joy of God. There's the confidence in the Word of God. Look at verse 5. Every day they twist my words. All their thoughts against me are for evil. Well, what happened to God? What happened to nobody can get me? All of a sudden, the next verse, they gather themselves together. You know this is okay, though. You know it's okay. We're not criticizing David. It's the nature of the flesh and the spirit relationship. So don't let that, what I'm telling to you is don't let that freak you out. The fact that one moment you're able to praise God, the next moment you're just, oh gosh. Okay? Because people get upset by that. They feel like they're not Christian. They feel like they don't know God. Just because their flesh just winds up right after prayer. Right after I was holy. All of a sudden, very next minute, I just blow up. Anybody ever done that? Because God messed up. Anybody know God messed up? Huh? He did. He messed up. Of course, what side of me is that? That's the fear side, isn't it? That's not the trust Him side. That's this side. So, and you've got that continually going on. I just want to set you free from that fear. Can you do that? Can you hear that? Set you free from that fear. God likes me. He came for sinners. He came for people who were raised up on this planet with all kinds of dumb ideas and crazy solutions to their own problems. And you're so used to doing it that way. It takes a while to break it. But I want you to know from this point that you know that God loves you. Forget the rest of it. Forget how lousy you have performed. Just come and receive at the table. Amen? Next time you feel guilty, next time you mess up, I just want you to just take a big deep breath and drink of the well of water. It's springing up into everlasting life. God loves you. He's always loved you. He's coming in. He's come to live in you because He likes it there.
No, certainly He can't. I mean, I got crud in the corners that hadn't been cleaned for years.
You're so embarrassed. Stop it. I mess up. But I'm not afraid. Just because I've been meditating on this a long time. Amen? I want you to learn to meditate on this and have it and enjoy it. I said there's a foundation beneath which I cannot sink. I won't believe that God's mad at me or against me. Or He's punishing me for not performing. Now, granted, if I step in a puddle, my foot will get wet. If you step in a puddle, your foot will likely get wet. But you're not going to drown because God's not going to let you. Amen? Because you belong to Him. You belong to Him. I'm not saying you're not going to have any trouble in this world because this thing lives here. Amen? It does. It lives here. My flesh lives here. But you know what? My heart doesn't. My spirit doesn't. David's spirit didn't. He sure had a flesh that was romping around. And mine has been too, but you know, God's changing me. Amen? God's changing me day after day after day because I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. And so do you. Are you confident? I am persuaded. God, Abraham was fully persuaded with what God promised. He was able to perform. Amen? I am persuaded that neither death nor life, the principalities nor powers, the things present, the things to come, nor angels, nor darkness, nor any principalities, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And there's another persuaded that I keep trying to catch. I had it over in Dallas and just can't catch it now. Okay, verse 5 in chapter 56 of Psalms. Every day they twist my words, all their thoughts against me are evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps and they wait for me. They wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? Talking to God. In your anger, cast down the people, O God. Verse 8. You tell my wanderings. You know my wanderings. Wow. You know my wanderings. That's a pleasant way to put it. King James is always so sweet. But you put my tears in a bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry to you, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. See, he did it again. Went from despair to confidence. It's okay to do that. I hope you're getting this. I hope this is meaningful to you. It's meaningful to me because it saves me. Because every time I get into a funk, every time I get into a low spot, God's always, He always lifts me up. The Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. You want to encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen? Come on. Encourage yourself in the Lord. The Lord has plenty of joy, plenty of encouragement. His Word is always for me. Verse 10, same as verse 4, in God will I praise His Word. In the Lord will I praise His Word. Why does God make a big deal about His Word? Why does He make a big deal about His Word? Well, what was it that... the Bible says that He exalted His Word above His name. Who told you about His name? His Word. His Word told you about His name. His Word. The Bible says that the grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. The Word of our God shall stand forever. It's His Word that changes me. It's His Word that transforms me and builds me. Verse 11, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. Your vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises to you. Your promises are upon me. Your promises are upon me, and I will sing and give praise to you. For you have delivered my soul from death. You will not deliver my feet from... Will not you deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? He delivers me. So, His deliverance, first of all, is from my heart and my mind. Amen? That's where my deliverance is. In other words, no matter what's going on the outside, I'm already delivered. I'm delivered. I'm already delivered out of darkness into the kingdom of His marvelous dear Son. Amen? I've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His marvelous light. I've already been delivered, and I'm walking in that. These are things you meditate on day and night. These are things you meditate on day and night. Over in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, reasonable worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world. See, you can do that, actually. You can actually be conformed to this world. Why? How? By following how the world does things. How the world manages to take care of their own problems. I mean, if it's time to punch him out, that's how you do it. Huh? You remember that. You know, it's time to scratch their eyes, you do that. You know, whatever it takes, baby. Whatever it takes to get by in this world. You know, I remember when Robert Mowery used to tell us the true version of the of the Golden Rule. This is not for kids. You know, we don't tell this for kids. It's do others before they do you. That's the world. That's the world. Get others before they get you. I mean, after all, that's how to make it in this life. You know, get others before they get you first, because that's how the world works. Now, for the kids, of course, you remember that Jesus says, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." That's what Jesus said. Of course, maybe I need to talk to some of the adults. You know, maybe I need to talk to me. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. But we learn in this world how to manipulate and how to do things after our own way. God says, let me do it. God says, whatever they did to you, turn the other cheek also. Well, that's crazy talk, isn't it? That's just nuts. I mean, if they ask for your coat, give them your cloak also. What? He was planting seed. Jesus certainly wasn't expecting people to take that and do it. He was planting seed as though this is what the kingdom of God looks like. Just hide and watch. Because that's what's going to begin to happen. When the Holy Spirit begins moving on the inside of people, they'll give their lives. They'll give their coat. They'll give their cloak. They'll give their very lives for you. Because it's the power of God. So he was proclaiming the kingdom of God before it ever happened. Amen? I mean, we look at the Sermon on the Mount as if it's something to be accomplished. If you'll do all these things, I'll like you and I'll accept you into heaven. I mean, forget the Ten Commandments. Just do the Sermon on the Mount. That's the Christian commandments, right? And you're so afraid that you messed up on those. Just like the other people who are afraid they messed up on theirs. What I'm telling you today, receive forgiveness of the forgiveness of God, the love of God. Let Him do the work on the inside of you. David is distressed in his flesh, but he knows the power of God and the Word of God, doesn't he? That's you. And you end up doing the same thing, is all I'm pointing out today, is you end up doing the same thing, and I'm helping you to get free from it. Is that don't worry about it when you're all freaked out and screaming and upset. God's not mad at you. He loves you. He is, in fact, doing everything to bring His Word and His power in you to set you free, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You begin to grow. You begin to see the love of God operating through you. You begin to rejoice in the middle of tribulation. And there are tribulations that come, aren't there? They're the ones that come. But He is with you right in the boat. Jesus, don't you care that we perish? The wind, the waves, everything. God is working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. He is transforming you from the inside out. He is bringing to pass His Word in you. Listen, He loves you. He is not mad at you. I want you to know that He's not mad at you for not measuring up. Amen? Come on, believer. He's not mad at you for not measuring up. He, in fact, just says, let me do it. That doesn't mean when He asks you to, when He moves you to do something, that He doesn't want you to do it. But the reason He wants you to do it is for your blessing and their blessing. And when you mess up, it's not that He's mad. It's just you didn't get the blessing. You didn't get the benefit of it. Amen? He's not coming down on you. He's training you. He's discipling you Himself. Is anybody getting this? It ain't about not doing good. It's about not doing good to be pleasing to Him. He's already pleased. Okay? So what a waste of time that is. I've told you that before. Guilt and condemnation is a great time waster. The devil loves it. He loves it when you get down on yourself. And you have a legitimate reason to be upset in the natural. And the enemy then, once you go there, the enemy comes in to destroy you. Doesn't he? He's got good. They fell for that one. Now I'll come in and finish them off. And ruin the power of God in that life for a week. A month. For 30 years. Because somebody believed that God was mad at them. How many know God has totally forgiven all of your sins, past, present, and future? How many are you just rejoicing daily, even when you mess up? How many of you are rejoicing daily even when God didn't show up and do what you wanted Him to do? And He hadn't done it for 10 years. There's some things that you wanted God to do for 10 years, and they were legitimately good things that you know, if God was good, He would have done them. I don't know everything. I'm trusting God. I'm trusting Him. I think He should have done this years ago. Or I think He should have never done that or let that happen. But I want the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the living God. I want to be free. So I'm not going to take what the devil brings as an accusation. The devil is bringing an accusation against God, and he wants me to carry it for him. Huh? He wants me to carry the accusation for him. And if I do it, I've lose my joy. When I carry God's accusation against God on behalf of the devil, I'm totally weakened. I don't receive the blessing of God, not because God's mad at me. It's just I don't receive the blessing because I went out to the pigsty. I decided to go out to the pigsty and roam around over there without, because I chose to carry pig slop. And I chose to bring it to God and show it in His face. When He's given me life, life, life. Amen? Psalm 57. We're not going to take the whole thing. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in You. Well, he's talking about his soul. My soul trusts in You. In the shadow of Your wings will I make my refuge. Well, everybody go back and write down Psalm 91. Y'all know it, and this is very similar to what Psalm 91 is all about. We're not going to read it today. But write it down there. Put it in your little phone. Send yourself a little reminder. In the shadow of Your wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. It might be a long time. In the shadow of Your wings I will make my safety. I will cry to the Most High, to God Most High, to God that performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. How many know the enemy, the devil, will swallow you up in self-pity, anger, hatred, accusations? The devil will swallow you up. Give me a fork. He just loves it. He loves to swallow you up. Because he hates you and he wants to destroy you. God loves you and he's giving you everything. You just don't understand it all yet. Oh, Selah, that means think about it. So think about that. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among the lions. Here it is. I'm among the lions. Satan sent the lions. Are there lions anyway? There's lions anyway. I mean, blame Adam for that, right? I mean, he's out there with Eve. She's goofing around. He knows what's going on. He eats that thing. He knows exactly what he's doing. But blame Adam. Don't blame Eve. We're going to blame Eve. No, blame Adam. Blame the man. He messed up. My soul is among the lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Oh my gosh. Even the sons of men whose teeth and spears are spears and arrows, and their tongue is a sharp sword. Be you exalted, O God. Now all of a sudden we're back to God. Be you exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They've prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me, into the midst whereof they have fallen themselves. They can't win. Now listen to verse 7. That's what I said. This is your foundation. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. Everybody say that. My heart is fixed. Nah, try it again. You didn't know what I said. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. Get your instruments ready. Get the band ready. I myself will wake early. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing to you among the nations. For your mercy sounds like a song. For your mercy is great to the heavens, and your truth to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. Do you see the connection between the way your life is and David's life is and my life is? We always complain. We always have a flesh. That's okay. It's okay. What I want you to do is be free from fear and guilt because you think that God was unhappy with the way you handled that. Knock it off. He's not that impressed with your thinking. He loves you, and He has forgiven you. He's forgiven your sins as far as the east is from the west. Every day when you rise again, you are born from above. You look at that face in the mirror and say, this is the one that Jesus loves. This is the one that Jesus loves. In fact, most of you, when you wake up, you're still kind of wiping things out of your eyes, He loves that person. Amen? He doesn't love the fake person that you put on, guys. He doesn't love that one. Amen? He loves the crummy person, the lousy person. When the woman caught in adultery, she didn't have time to fix up. They just dragged her and threw her in front of Jesus. That's you. Amen. Every day, that's me. Throw him in front of Jesus. He says, go and sin no more. Not because he hates sin as much as he loves me. He says, go and sin no more so I won't be destroyed. Amen. So sin just keeps me from Jesus. So it's not about stopping sinning so God will be happy with me and not beat me up. It's about, hey, here's what I provided. Full deliverance from all sin so that you can take advantage of every blessing. Amen? Let's take advantage of the blessing today. Let's take advantage of the blessing today. Amen? Let's no longer look at myself as people, as a person, as flesh. But I'm going to look at myself. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So you know what that means? When you've received the kingdom, you're the kingdom of heaven. Amen? You're living stones. So let's enjoy that. Let's enjoy that. Amen? Amen? Do that. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's breathe. Let's receive the power of God, the love of God, the Holy Spirit. That's the pneuma of God, right? With a pneumatic tool, You know what that is? You know what that makes that little sound? Maybe you can do that every time you forget that God's in you. I do it because I'm kind of goofy. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a powerful drill, isn't it? You can't pull those lug nuts off without one of those. Right? You can't pull those lug nuts off. And just with your hands. You got to have the power of the Holy Spirit. You got to have the power. And that power is just air. Jesus breathed on them. The interesting thing is that Jesus breathed on them. This is before the 50 days later, you know. This is before the Holy Spirit came, you know, with tongues of fire and all that. What did Jesus do to impart the Holy Spirit? On the night that He was raised from the dead. He didn't wait. The night that He was raised from the dead, He came in among them without the doors being open. They were locked. You know, He just kind of came in. And He breathed on them. And He said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." If He hadn't breathed on them, I would have thought, well, yeah, He meant for later. But He made an action. He breathed on them. And that was that well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's the Holy Spirit, that first impartation. And that's the one that's in you, causing you to... You're in the kingdom of heaven. You're breathing and living by the Spirit. Amen? Okay, I want you to remember these things. So next Sunday, there's going to be a test. Okay? Actually, the test will be tonight, or right after church. You know, that's when the test will be. Because God is still letting you live in this world. Amen? Praise the Lord. Is there a baby coming soon? Due today? I was wondering about this. Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, Lord, hold that baby until after church. After lunch. Is it she or he? Or do we? Is she coming today? Amen. Lord, we pray for Mara. Thank you for Mara. Pray for Ryan, too. And what's her name? With an S? Okay, good. I always want to get that right. I hate to pray for people and you don't know their name. Father, we pray for Mara and Ryan and for Maris. Father, we love this. We love them. We thank you that you love them. And you're going to bring her forth with great joy. And Father, with no complication whatsoever. And just let the glory of God, the power of God be upon them as this baby is brought into this world. Father, it's a terrible world. But she has parents who love Jesus. And she's going to be powerful in the kingdom of heaven. Because she's going to be taught the Word of God from the foundation. Now we know she's going to sin. But Lord, we thank you right now for just working in her a powerful, powerful living experience in this world. Because you're her God. And we just give you the praise. Thank you for blessing Mara and Ryan and causing them to be the best parents because they have an ability to laugh at themselves and to trust you. And we just give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. All right. Praise the Lord.